Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We're continuing our look through the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Jesus went out and just departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Man, Lord, ain't this something? This temple, Herod's temple that he's built, and all the buildings around. Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left one stone upon the other that shall not be thrown down." Verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and saying, they asked 3 questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? Question number 2. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And question number 3. And the end of the world. As they were leaving Jerusalem, at the temple, and he was going across the Kidron Valley, going to Mount. I can just imagine the disciples talking among themselves about what Jesus just said. What do you mean that temple's going to be destroyed? What is he talking about? So they get over there, and Jesus sat down upon the mount, and they asked him these questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming into the world? And then Jesus answered them, and he begins that wonderful message, what we call the Olivet Discourse. Now, he said all that to say this. During that Olivet Discourse in Matthew number 24, he talks about Noah, verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. Don't read any farther. He's not talking about the translation of the saints. He's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. Because if you get the background, verse number 29 and about the tribulation and verse number 30, then there shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven and see him in the clouds of great glory, all that. He's talking about the revelation. But in the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. Understand, he's not talking about the rapture or the translation. He's talking about the revelation when Jesus comes in his glory in Revelation 19:11. For in the days of Noah, they, and before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse number 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The flood took who away? Who's the all? The who? The evil people. The flood took them away. All right. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Again, let me go a little farther. Then 2 shall be in the field, 1 shall be taken and the other left. 2 shall be grinded in the mill, 1 shall be taken to the left. Now, don't read any farther. A lot of people will refer this to the rapture, and you could put some of this stuff in the rapture because there are going to be some people taken and some people left. But he's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ here. When he comes, who's going to be taken off of this earth? During the evil ones. Remember Jesus talks about in Revelation Matthew 25, the wheat and the tares. He removes the tares from the wheat. Are y'all following? Yeah. This is yes, this is no. And this is, I have no idea what we're talking about. Okay, it's just a point of eschatology for y'all. When you get in Matthew 24, 25, he's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the revelation. He talks about the wheats and the tares and the others. So that when they enter into the kingdom, matter of fact, you find the judgment of the living nations in Matthew chapter number 25. He continues that thought where all the angels brings all the living to Jesus. And Jesus will do that. And he separates the sheep from the goats. Remember, you know, the sheep from the goats? He takes the goats. He says, depart from me. You're out of here. And the sheep enter to the millennium in their physical bodies. So you just kind of understand what he's talking about as it was in the, are we living as it was in the days of Noah? Are we living in a wicked world today? As we have never seen it in our lifetime. I would love to name some sins, but I hadn't even talked about Abraham yet. If daddy could see, how would I say this? My dad would turn over in his grave if it was possible, if he could see what was taking place in America, in our own country. Men and women, and used to things were done in secret. Now, not only in the open, they proudly proclaim it. And if you voice anything against it, you're a hater, you're a bigot. If you say anything against them, well, you just, yeah, whatever. You just, as it were in the days of Noah. I tell you, we're living in those days. We're in the last days. But I'm just telling you, in Matthew 24 and 25, it's going to get worse. When Jesus takes us out of here, I hope you're ready. But ready or not, here he comes. You know, as a kid, we used to play hide and seek. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ready or not, here I come. Jesus could come today. I'm practicing. Today. He could come today. Do you believe that? We're going to be out of here. What's going to be left are these wicked folk. All believers. There's a whole other. But during the tribulation, they're going to be a lot of saved people. People who've never heard the gospel before. I wish I could. There are going to be more people saved in the tribulation period than at any point in that seven-year period than any time in history. 144,000 go out, the two witnesses, and people will not receive the mark of the beast and all this during the tribulation. Multitudes upon multitudes and multitudes will be saved, and these are the ones who've never heard the gospel. 2 Thessalonians says, chapter 2 says this, if they heard the gospel and they believed not because they received not the truth. They heard the gospel. They rejected the gospel. The Bible says this, and they shall be damned. That's an awful word. Because they received not the truth. They heard it, and there's no hope for them. But the people who've never heard, which is still half the world's population, still has not heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's in China or Africa or wherever it may be, you know, Middle Eastern countries or wherever it may be, wherever it may be. Just throwing this out there. Still never heard of it. And I'm going to say one more thing, and I didn't even get to Abraham. There's no excuse for anybody in America dying and going to hell. You know how many Baptist churches there are in the city of Winter Haven? I counted them. I don't know what it is now because some have closed and all. But a few years ago, I counted. There were 35, 37 Baptist churches in Winter Haven alone. On the outskirts of Winter Haven. There's radio. There's TV. There's the farm. I mean, there's the gospel. It's are people going to die and go to hell? Absolutely. But it's not because they don't have the opportunity to hear. Do y'all think I'm crazy? I may be a nut, but I'm on the right bolt. Okay? We still got to share the gospel. I'm just saying there's no excuse for anybody in America. It's there. WLVF is the radio station. Churches everywhere, on every corner, and so to speak. But still, half the world's now have not heard the gospel. Many of them will be saved. They'll enter into the millennium, those who are not martyred, in their physical bodies. And that's what he's talking about in Matthew 24, 25, the revelation of Jesus Christ and not the rapture. Anybody here mad at me? Let me finish this one and I'll be done. I got 2 minutes. By faith, Abraham, and I have pages and pages that I could share with you. By faith, Abraham. Noah was, we look at a work of faith. Abraham was the wandering of faith, not W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, wandering, but wandering, W-A-N-D-E-R. Because we see these two verses, and then I close. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country. Do you know that Abraham never owned a piece of land? He journeyed for about 100 years in Canaan. Had Isaac and Jadis, and Isaac and Esau, all these, and then his grandchildren and all. 100 years he wandered. The only piece of property that he owned, him and Sarah, owned a grave plot. That's all they owned. His was a wandering of faith. Can you imagine? I've been to Iraq a couple of times, and many of y'all know the story. I've been to Iraq, and those Iraqi people are so proud to say that Abraham was an Iraqi. Of course, it wasn't Iraq then. It was in the Ur of the Chaldees. But Ur of the Chaldees, Mesopotamia, that's modern-day Iraq. And they would say, hence, Abraham, when I was over there, we were so proud. Abraham was an Iraqi. I mean, what? Can you imagine living over there? He had a house? No, well, just imagine living in a house. Probably pretty nice because... Anyway, he goes home and he tells his wife, Sarah, wasn't Sarah at the time, but you know, baby, pack your bags. We're going. Where are we going, honey? I don't know.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.